If you bring home the bacon, these days you're going to have to shell out more to do just that. We're going to talk about inflation today. In fact, bacon is now up 18.6%, and that is also along with the fact that chicken is up 10.4%, and gas prices are a whopping 49.6%. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and our guest for this segment talking about inflation is Julio Gonzalez, the president of Engineered Tax Services. Julio, it's great to have you on the program again. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so explain to us what's happening as far as inflation.
Sure. Well, you know, inflation is the old supply and demand, right? So more demand than supply creates inflation. So what do we do? I mean, I think we have to reverse course and reverse what we have been doing for the last 2 years, and especially the last year with the executive orders. Here's what I would do. I would, one, instead of giving incentives through these treasury bills and bills passed by Congress to have people stay at home, incentivizing them to stay at home, let's reverse that. Let's give tax incentives for people to go back to work. Let's just basically drop employment tax for a period of time and allow people to keep more of their wages. And at the same time, drop the employer tax, you know, bill so that everyone's saving 7.5%, the companies and the employees. That means they're taking home far more, and that's an incentive to go back to work. I think let's start with that. Let's get rid of these executive orders that cut down our supply, especially of oil. You said oil is up over 40%. That's incredible. We got to reverse that. We got to get our production back in order. We can't give incentives to shut down oil production here in the United States to companies that for green energy. It doesn't work, right? We've seen this with inflation. Also, let's give some employment incentives, right? So if you're an employer, small business, let's give you guys some tax incentives like employment retention credits, things that we did a few years ago to help get the economy going. These are the things we have to do, I think, immediately to help kickstart. And we got to stop passing bills to raise taxes, to raise, you know, regulation, and to keep people at home. I think those are things we cannot do.
Okay, now you said the last 2 years. Well, the last 1 year is, exclusively Biden's responsibility, but then you say 2 years, that would include the last year of President Trump.
Yeah, and what I mean by that is that, you know, we had, under the last 2 years, a pandemic, right? And President Trump did a great job with the recovery and getting us on track with the economy, especially during the darkest period ever in the United States, but, and maybe the world, right? But now Biden is trying to crush this whole pandemic thing by continuing to keep businesses closed. He wanted to mandate vaccines to the employers for all their employees, things that are creating so much more employment, you know, retention problems and trying to recruit employment. Thankfully, the Supreme Court ruled last week that they're not going to force these mandated vaccines for small businesses. They are still for, you know, the medical community, which is a travesty in itself. But, you know, Biden in this last year has basically crushed this United States economy, blaming the pandemic and blaming these shutdowns and blaming the supply thing on the pandemic. It's not the case. It's bad government regulation and bad bill passing.
So as bad as COVID is, the response to COVID by Biden is far worse.
It has been tragic. It really has been tragic. Can you believe that he basically wanted to shut down every small business owner by forcing these mandated vaccines? Now, he didn't get the Build Back Better plan passed yet, but in that he wanted to increase employment taxes, small business tax, individual taxes. That would have been those two things alone are dramatic to our economy, to the small businesses. He wanted to do in that Build Back Better, increase the debt and with that increase inflation and also basically redistribute from taxpayers to non-taxpayers for social programs and for social, you know, business programs. These things would have been so much more dramatic. Thank goodness we have a couple senators on the Democratic side that could not go back to their states and pass these bills, and we hope that they'll keep to that. But obviously, those type of responses, and he also, you know, with his first bill passed back more money, stimulus money for people to stay home, more child credits, which he wanted to extend, more unemployment. Those things are what's killing the economy.
Is inflation, in effect, hidden government taxes, if you will?
Yeah, we call it, I think that's a great way to put it, we call it the regression tax, right? He said, Biden said he's not going to raise the taxes on people under $400,000 in income. But let's face it, they've had the largest increase. This regression tax is what's hurting, you know, low to moderate income families, right? You said the food cost alone has gone up substantially. Their oil, you know, their utilities, the rent that they're paying has gone way up. And all these things are impacting them because they're on a fixed income, whether it's the seniors, the people just getting into the job market, the low to moderate income families. He raised their taxes over 7%. This is horrible, and we got to fix this.
Okay, now you have a tweet, and I'm going to go ahead and read some of these statistics. In fact, it was from that tweet that I got that bacon statistic, you know, the increase of bacon and gas prices, 49.6%, so almost 50% higher in gas costs. But here we go. Used cars and trucks up 37%. I'm just going to round off these numbers. Car and truck rentals up 36%. Furniture up 14%. Eggs up 11%. Chicken up 10%. Fish up 10%. And then you round off this tweet saying, quote, mean tweets are better than 40-year high inflation. So obviously you're comparing Trump with Biden in that.
Well, exactly. And it feels like, you know, to some of your audience that's old enough, the Jimmy Carter days, but this is much higher now. I mean, inflation is going up at a staggering point. He knows that those executive orders to cut down our oil supply, this is why we have that massive price hike at the gasoline tank. I mean, this is horrible. And all that impacts food prices, right? Because you have to ship it. You have to get it to the stores. All these things are devastating. It starts with the fuel prices and those executive orders he signed the day he came into office. And then he did the stimulus program, which was basically a wealth distribution of taxpayers to non-taxpayers, right? Keeping them home, keeping them incented to stay home. That hurt where? The labor market, right? No labor, a lot of supply and demand issues there, which impacted inflation. He is killing inflation, and then he wants to add to that more debt this year to increase taxes as well. Those things and the forced mandate vaccines would shut down all small business, and maybe that's the program for them. Hopefully we don't have that second stage of bills pass.
Wow, and we're stuck with this for the next 3 years, basically?
Well, we're stuck with it for 3 years, but think about it. In November, if we win the House and we get more seats in the Senate, right, then we can shut down anything that he wants to pass. So at least for the next 2 years, it would be a stalemate, and then we hope for better days in 3 years, right?
Yeah, well, this is very interesting to me. And by the way, part of the whole point that Biden was doing, I mean, it was by design as far as cutting down the pipeline or shutting down the pipelines and so forth. He believes in man-made, the theory of man-made catastrophic global warming, which they sometimes call climate change because, you know, remember when Al Gore would go out and try and sell the idea of man-made global warming and then there would be a huge blizzard and snowstorm and he would literally be giving these talks about global warming and these crowds probably could think, wow, we could use a little bit of global warming around here now, you know. So they changed the phrase to climate change. But climate change, there's another phrase for that. It's the weather. So the whole thing to me is based on a false theory that we, the people, you know, driving SUVs or whatever, affect all these things. It's just not true. And I've done many programs on this with different climate scientists who don't agree with the party line on this.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the scientists as a community agree that, you know, his hypothesis is not correct. And ultimately, look what it's costing us. And, you know, when he passed that first bill, that infrastructure bill, he gave a lot of money to the Green Paris Accord to fight climate control. All this money, taxpayer money, going to Europe to help as a community fight this climate issue. Just things that are crushing to the economy. You know, when I talked to Dr. Ben Carson, I thought he made a great comment, which was, if green energy is really good, when it gets really good, that's when we can start switching off, you know, the oil production, but only when it's, you know, cost equivalent and when it makes sense. And it didn't make sense today, and it doesn't make sense down the future. And at the point it does, then you can start to see those things change. But do it through private, you know, partnerships, not public. Don't have the taxpayers try to invest in something that doesn't work today.
Well, now you, I'm sure, have a lot of individual clients and so forth that you see, you know, in your work with the engineered tax services and so forth. What do you recommend to them in terms of, you know, surviving and even thriving, Lord willing, during these days as far as the economy?
Yeah, well, the first thing for a lot of my clients is I tell them to move, right? If you're in a high tax state, you got to get out. A high tax state with regulations, you got to leave New York and come to Florida. You got to leave California, go to Texas. I think those things we talk about, because I'm serious, those states continue to, they're the only states that increased taxes during COVID and are continuing to increase taxes now this year to make up for the tax deficit from losing people and companies. So,
wait, you know, can I stop you real fast?
Sure.
When you tell them to move, can you please ask them, and by the way, vote in new patterns, please. You know, don't turn Florida red. I actually saw, blue. I actually saw a bumper sticker the other day. We both live in South Florida, different counties, but I saw a bumper sticker and it said, "Turn Florida blue in 22." And I thought, oh my goodness, what is this? You gotta be nuts.
I agree. Listen, I agree with you. Don't bring the politics that you came from. And maybe Ron DeSantis needs to basically say that once you come to Florida, you don't have the right to vote here for 4 years or whatever, you know. But, you know, I would throw that out there. Maybe Governor DeSantis, we could do that. I agree, because I'm afraid they're going to bring their politics. But you can't bring your politics from a place you're leaving the politics from. Let's hope for that. But, you know, that's one of my recommendations. The other recommendation is to definitely, you know, get a good accounting firm that is proactive and going to go through the million pages of tax code and help you and know your industry. So make sure that they know your industry, know all the tax credits associated with your industry, and that can really help you. Because, look, over the last 2 years, we had employment tax credits. A lot of companies don't take advantage of that. And for people staying at home, there's a lot of tax deductions from working at home now that were implemented over the last 2 years. Make sure you're up to date on that. Even just a quick Google search, I work from home, what do I do? You know, because you can start writing off your house, your car, a lot of the utility costs, a lot of the electronic costs. So those are a few quick things that could help.
Yeah, that's good. We have about a minute left. And I wonder if there's any suggestions you want to have for people who own small businesses. I really feel sorry for the local restaurant and the trying to compete with the big national chains who have a lot more, you know, wherewithal to withstand, you know, the pandemic and then the response to the pandemic.
I'm glad you brought this up. Now, so all small businesses now, there's being money released by the U.S. Treasury in 1 week for all small businesses that is basically a grant to help small businesses get restarted. So that money is coming out next week. You know, and it's a lot of money. It's really geared towards those restaurants, like you talked, a lot of small businesses that had a hard time recovering. That's money that doesn't have to be paid back. I think if you want to get available those funds, talk to your local chamber, right, and ask them about these opportunities, because this is money that's free to the community. It's been given out by the federal government to the local communities, and they're making the decisions on who ultimately gets awarded these grants. But get in line, right? Because if we learned one thing during the pandemic, you know, when they were giving out this money to the different businesses, you had to get in line quickly, and you had to have a good relationship with that bank that you were working with to make sure that you got access to that. So that's some good news coming. I probably took up more than a minute, but yeah, please look into that.
All right. EngineeredTaxServices.com is your website. Julio, thanks so much for joining us again. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Okay, great. Bye-bye.